Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. Verse 46. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God? Now they came to Jericho, and as they went out of Jericho, or as he went out, we're speaking of Jesus, as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And they warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, "Be of good cheer, rise, he's calling you." And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "Rabboni, that I may receive my sight." Then Jesus said to him, "Go your way. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. Again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Brother Mike Goodson, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Lord, we just thank you so much for your merciful God. We pray the scriptures and what Brother Doug has to share with us will just help us better understand your love for us, how much that you cherish us to just get to know you for all.
Amen. You may be seated. Now I want you to get this setting in your mind, okay? And the setting here is basically Jesus is leaving the city of Jericho, and Jesus is surrounded. He's surrounded by his disciples. He's surrounded by a multitude of people. Jesus, at this point, is the center of everyone's attention. And this nobody person named Bartimaeus, a blind guy, begins to scream out. And he's the most, in the public's eye, he would be the least favored of that group. He would be the last one that Jesus would speak to. And this nobody named Bartimaeus begins to cry out, "Jesus, have mercy on me," sitting on the side of the road. "Jesus, have mercy on me." There was nothing about him that would cause a person like Jesus to give him the time of day. The crowd that followed Jesus even told him, "You be quiet. He's not going to waste his time on you. Just hush." It says in the text as we read it, it says that they warned him. Literally, they threatened him. Have you ever told someone, "If you don't be quiet, everything that's going on is way more important than you are. And so the crowd begins to tell him, "If you don't be quiet, we're going to haul you out of here." But it didn't matter. Bartimaeus began to yell even louder, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." To the point that Jesus could not ignore or he could not pretend that he didn't hear him. Not that Jesus would have pretended not to hear him. But you know, Barnabas knew that Jesus was his only hope. And if Jesus refused to help him, there was no help. Let me ask you a question. What is your greatest need this evening? You as a person, what is your greatest need? And are you passionate about that need? I mean, you look at Bartimaeus, For some reason, that is difficult for me to pronounce, so excuse me if I mess that up, all right? But you look at Bartimaeus, and he's so passionate. When everybody's telling him, leave Jesus alone, he's saying, no, Jesus, have mercy on me. Shh, be quiet. No, Jesus, it's me, Bartimaeus. Be quiet. Jesus, you can feel the passion of this man. And as I thought about that, you know, I thought, here's a man who wanted something. Here's a man who needed something. And I go back to my question, what is your greatest need tonight? What need do you have? And once you identify that need, do you really believe that Jesus can help you?
Amen.
I mean, let's think about it. If you were blind and you knew that Jesus was walking down this aisle, would you cry out to Him? Would you say, Jesus, come here. Come here, help me. If you had an illness, if you had cancer or whatever illness, and you knew that Jesus was walking down this aisle, would you say, Jesus, it's me. It's Doug. Have mercy on me.
Amen.
And then we'd send our deacons over to you. Shh, be quiet. Would you listen to them? No, you'd throw them off and say, you get out of my way. Jesus, have mercy on me. You can see the passion. Now, tonight, again, what do you need? You know, I think that we're not very passionate because we really don't think it'll do any good. What do you really need? I'm not, you know, I'm not talking about... If you're like me, oftentimes I pray, Lord, bless me, bless them, and here we go. Yeah, do you ever... Are your prayers that way sometime? And you know what I get from those prayers? Nothing. And you know why? Because I really don't want anything. When you came to church, that did you come wanting something, needing something? I hope so. Because I'll be honest with you, as I was studying this, it was very convicting to me. Because Jesus is here. And if you have a need, Jesus is the only one that can fill that need. Now, I ask you again, what do you need? Second thing I'm going to ask you is, have you prayed about it? A lot of people say, well, brother, you know, I prayed about it and it hadn't really done any good. Well, I mean, have you been passionate about it? Have you cried out to God with a passion of, God, I need this? I tell you, one of my passions, one of my prayers is just, it's confession time, is, Lord, help me to live in your presence. Help me to, with a daily knowledge of knowing that you're living in me and knowing that you're there. Lord, I don't want to live without you. And it's not that I am living without God, but it is a realization that I'm in the presence of God and that God is living within me. What do you need? What have you asked for? I love Matthew 7:7. Ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. And that's a really good verse to spout out. But do you realize the viewpoint that verse is given? It is keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. And when you look at it from that perspective, you see Bartimaeus. Is that the passion? You know, I often think that we're not fired up about Jesus because we never ask. It's, you know, we just kind of cruise through life without needs. May there be a persistence in our prayer life. And I love the next move here. As everybody's telling Barnabas, just be quiet. He doesn't have time for you. If you're here tonight and you have a real need, I want you to know Jesus is here and He has time for you. Look at the next thing that happens. So Jesus stood still in verse 49 and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying, "Be of good cheer. Rise, he's calling you." Doesn't that just kind of make you smile? And the reason it makes me smile is 2 seconds ago, this is the crowd that says, "Shh, be quiet. Jesus doesn't have time for you." And now Jesus says, "Bring that man over here." Everybody runs to the man and says, "Oh, it's okay. Jesus has got time for you now." Their whole perspective is changed here. Jesus calls for Bartimaeus. And he asks a question. "What do you want me to do for you? What's your desire?" And Bartimaeus says, "Jesus, I want to see, that I might receive, that I may receive my sight." His request is very plain and very simple. "Jesus, I just want to see. I'm blind. I can't see. I want to see." You know, as I thought about that request, I thought about my prayer life once again. And I thought about the times that I pray. And as I said, oftentimes I ask for nothing and so that's what I get. But oftentimes, I pray as though I'm trying to impress God. You ever do that? "Oh, our Father in heaven, Thou art above all things, Creator of heaven and earth. All praise and glory belong to You. You are good. You're an awesome God." Sometimes it's as though we're trying to impress God and butter Him up so that we can get something out of Him. Have you ever been caught there? I mean, let's be honest here. Bartimaeus did not do that. He screamed out. He passionately cried out, "Jesus, have mercy on me." And Jesus says, "Okay, come here. What do you want me to do?" Bartimaeus says, "I want to see. I just want my sight." Very simple, not complex. You wanting something from God? Don't beat around the bush. Don't pray to impress me. Don't worry about everybody else and what everybody else is thinking. Do business with Jesus. He's here. He's always here. Where two or three are gathered together, He's in our midst. We're promised that. Jesus calls him. He asks the question. Bartimaeus responds, "I just want to see." And you'll never guess what happened next. You know what happened next? Jesus said, "Your faith has made you whole. Your faith has made you well. Go your way. Your faith has made you well." Your trust, your reliance. You turn to me. And that's what that word faith means. Okay? That's not some vague religious term. That word means to absolutely trust. Jesus is saying, "Bartimaeus, you put all your eggs in one basket. You absolutely, wholeheartedly trusted in me. Now, be healed." And guess what happened to Bartimaeus? He could see. He could see. And what's really cool is the next thing. Because he said, go your way. Verse 52, go your way. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. Why do you think Bartimaeus wanted to see? Well, if any of us were blind here, wouldn't we want to see? I'm sure there was a certain amount of, I just want to see. But look at what Bartimaeus did. When Jesus said, go your way, your faith has made you well. Immediately, he received his sight and he could have went anywhere he wanted to go. And you know what he did? He followed Jesus. Why is that so profound? I believe he wanted to see because he wanted to see Jesus so he could follow Jesus. Yeah? And I don't think that's too much of a stretch on my part, because you go back to the ten lepers that Jesus healed, and he told them, go show themselves to the priest, and as they were going, they were healed, and nine of them went on to show themselves to the priest and be declared clean, and that one guy came back, and he worshiped Jesus, and Jesus said, but weren't 10 healed? How many times have we prayed and asked God for things that we wanted that had nothing to do with His glory? Shouldn't that be the center of our prayer? Lord, make me to see so I can follow You. Lord, bless me with this so I can give it to You. Lord, give me guidance so I'll know how to live for You. Barnabas said, Lord, I want to see. And up until that point, the one thing he couldn't have done would have been follow Jesus. But after he could see again, guess what happened? He followed Jesus. We should never be selfish in our prayers, in our request of God. You realize God's not a mail order service that's sitting in heaven saying, just ask me so I can bless you and give you anything. No. I've said before and I'll say again tonight, as we pray these prayers and we ask God these things, even the things that we're passionate about, we've also got to ask ourselves the question, why should God answer my prayer? Why should God give me my request? And the answer to that is for His honor and for His glory. You see, we're not to be selfish in what we request of God. That we can heap it onto ourselves, that, you know, and that's not what it's about. This story of Bartimaeus reminds me of everybody here. Number one, an individual not worthy of the time of Jesus. Number two, individuals who cry out and not settle for anything else but Jesus. Number three, Jesus responding to the cries of helpless people like you and I for His honor and for His glory. My friends, may we be passionate. I'm talking passionate in our request before Jesus. Those needs, and you know, So often we pray, Lord, help me to pay my bills, and Lord, help me. Those things are superficial. Ask God for something big. Ask God for something good. Lord, build a fire in me. Put a passion in me. Lord, give me a desire for lost souls. Lord, help me to love those that don't love me. Lord, help me to live to Your honor and glory. Lord, give me a willing spirit so that if You say that You're calling me to Africa, I'll go. Lord, you know, pray for the big stuff. Because that's the prayers that will work to the glory of God. I mean, after all, aren't we all kind of like blind Barnabas? Not worthy of the time of Jesus. But He, from His mercy, has saved us. You may be here tonight, you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. You're just like Bartimaeus. You're sitting at the side of the road, not worthy of the time of Jesus. But He loved you so much, He gave His life upon Calvary for your sins. He died. He took your punishment upon Calvary so that you could have eternal life. You have to make a decision to accept that gift of salvation or to reject that gift of salvation. The choice is yours. He'll not make you do anything. He will not grab you by the ear and walk you down this aisle. But He offers the invitation. Friends, Jesus is here. Jesus is here. Will you call out to Him this evening? Heavenly Father, we thank You. We thank You, Lord, for the grace and the mercy that You have shown toward unworthy sinners such as us. That, Lord, for many in this congregation this evening, we cried out, unworthy of Your attention. And Lord, You responded to us in spite of our sin. You responded to us in love and grace and mercy. And Lord, we thank You for that. And now, Lord, as we serve You day by day, I pray that You will put a passion in each of us. A passion, Lord, to live for Your glory. A passion, Lord, for the lost to see them saved. A passion, Lord, for Your Word. A passion for a personal relationship with You. So that it doesn't matter what everyone else is saying or doing around us, Lord, that we'll settle for nothing less than a close personal relationship with You. Lord, we love You. And now we pray that this invitation serve to Your honor and to Your glory, and commitments will be made that You have called to be made. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.